Welcome back to Kat's podcast and to my Women's Health series. So my aim with this series is to break common health narratives that we have been told for a very long time, but that actually keep us sick and dependent, and that often paint a false picture of what we're actually capable to do within our bodies and also our minds. So I really hope that with this series, I'm able to open your eyes and to help you see more clearly, listening to these personal stories, to these real life stories, that it will help you shift your perception so that you can really empower yourself. This actually goes to the core of my mission and my podcast. I truly believe that we have to reestablish this connection to ourselves, this connection to nature and to our intuition, to be able to change things for the better, to be able to change this world for the better. Because really, so much that we have been told is lies, cleverly constructed to keep us small and dependent. So now let's break free, get healthy, come back to wholeness and our own intuitive knowledge. So I really hope that you get good golden nuggets out of these women's health episodes. If there's anything that was particularly helpful for you, any aha moments, please share your feedback, send me an email. You find my email in every show notes, or reach out to my guests. You can also reach out to us on Instagram or on their respective websites. So now, without further ado, let's dive in. So this is Kat's podcast, episode number 45 and 46 with Tani Taylor. Now, Tani is the co-creator of the Australian Tonic Herbs and Medicinal Mushrooms company, Superfeast, as well as a yoga teacher. We've connected a few years ago, and she was actually really right from the beginning on my list for this show because she's so knowledgeable when it comes to femininity and space and going back to a more natural way of how we do things, be that within our menstrual cycle or respective the bleeding, birth. We touch on all of this in the episode. And it's really an episode that's full of wisdom and experience on the menstrual cycle, what causes and how to avoid PMS, period pain and postpartum stress, and how tonic herbs and medicinal mushrooms can help us restore and keep our well-being. We go into the healing properties of Reishi and Heishuvu in specific, these are medicinal mushrooms, as well as the Superfeast blends Jing and I Am Gaia, which is the woman's blend in the US, as well as the connection we want to establish when using these plants. We also talk about Tani's personal story of depletion and how she restored her physical resources, her energy and her cycle. So it's definitely a great episode for any woman dealing with period pain or an irregular cycle, any woman who feels stressed or who thinks she has to do more, and especially yoga teachers and people in the healing professions, as we can tend to overgive and neglect ourselves, right? So Tani's got some beautiful reminders on how to take care of ourselves, to nurture ourselves, and to give ourselves space. We had actually a different topic planned, but the conversation flowed into this direction of women's health, and I really hope that you enjoy it. Just one more thing before we dive in. Superfeast products are available in Australia, New Zealand, and the US. It can be a bit tricky to get them in Europe, so I've linked to my favorite health store for alternative products. All other countries, please check in with Superfeast on shipping and requirements. All links below are affiliate links, which means that you support me in my work by buying through them. So thank you so much already for using them. And Superfeast even gives you 10% off your orders. So that's it. And now we're heading into the conversation. Enjoy. Welcome to the podcast, Tani. Super, super happy to have you here. We already had a little pre-chat, which is always so good.
So lovely to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yes, you're welcome. So it's actually interesting because we've been in touch for actually quite a few years, 5 years or so, just very, very loosely, but we have the same, or you actually recommended my yoga school to me, and I ended up doing my 200 and my 300 hour with them. I'm still super grateful for that. And I've been following you guys, meaning you guys, you and your husband and your company Superfeast for also 5 or 6 years now. I've had some products which I really loved, and I love the work that you do. So that's why I invited you on to chat about women's health and to basically go through the seasons, go through a whole year, and look at what issues can come up, what parts of the body, what organs we, well, where it's good to support, to nourish more, and what supplements, tonic herbs, medicinal mushrooms can help. And for those of you listening who don't know what Superfeast is, Superfeast is, I mean, Tani can say more in a moment, but Superfeast is a company producing wonderful tonic herbs, medicinal mushrooms, and other supplements. And yeah, as I said, I tried a few, and for me, it's really high quality. I love the taste, which is also not always given, I find, with medicinal mushrooms.
I was going to say, that's not the most common answer that people
All right.
People do maybe, not like the taste.
Maybe I've tried the good ones. I don't know.
Yeah, the maybe you've got the good flavors.
Anyway, so Tani, your co-creator, your husband Mason, is the founder of Superfeast, and I'll hand it over to you for a little intro of what you're doing, because you've also studied Taoist energetics, Taoist healing, so that all ties beautiful into one another.
Yeah, well, thank you for having us and for your support, because you have been a big support to our business, and I know you've had Mason on the podcast, so I really appreciate that. But we have a tonic herb company, and we sell a mix of tonic herbs and medicinal mushrooms, like you've mentioned. And my husband did start it. He started it in 2011, which I think is going on 13 years now, and I met him in 2014, and I was practicing a Taoist form of healing called Qi Ne Sang, and teaching Taoist-inspired yoga, and kind of very much into the energetics and the metaphysics of Taoism. And he had the herbs. And I remember being like, if this guy's legit, this is going to be like the missing piece for me, because I'd kind of been on my own health journey, and I'd been on like my life journey. I was in my late 20s at this point, or kind of mid to late 20s. And it was just a really special time to meet him. He came actually to the yoga studio that I owned and ran a workshop. And at the time, it was pretty weird, to be really honest, to be talking about putting mushrooms in a beverage or a coffee or something. Now you can literally buy mushroom coffee, but that was not a thing. And I think we had something like maybe 20 people come to the first workshop, which was quite an effort to get them to come. And it was this really, but he presented, and I just was sitting at the back listening to him, and I thought, this guy is just speaking my language and speaking to me. But I was still quite skeptical. I'm a little bit of a, an ex-scientist, I suppose. I was like, let's just see how this all goes. And anyway, he stayed in my house, but nothing happened or anything, really. We're now married, but there was definitely some chemistry. But he left me a packet of reishi and a packet of heshi wu after having a conversation with me in my garden, and he said, I think these are the herbs you need, I want you to take them. And so I was just popping them into a smoothie and kind of not really thinking about it, and then my period came and went, and it was really smooth and like regular and on time. I didn't get any breakouts, I was sort of feeling. And then I was practicing a lot of meditation at that point as well. And I just was noticing this real sensitivity and attunement to energy, to life, to I was just feeling really like alive and awake. And I remember messaging him and being like, I've just had the easiest period and kind of also, I just feel like I'm really tapped into something. And he's like, oh, that's the reishi. It's a Shen tonic. And I was like, oh, because I knew about Shen from, Jing Chi Shen, but I didn't really understand the application, I suppose, of what it felt like to perceive in that way. And then I sort of noticed my digestion was improving. There's just a lot of like really tangible and obvious benefits over a fairly short period of time. I think it would have taken me maybe 2 months to get through the amount of herbs he left me. And so then I put in a like a $500 order and ordered all this other stuff. And then, he put in like some freebies for me and it was kind of cute. And we were staying in touch by text. And then this must have been October. And we ended up, he messaged me one time because I was doing a dissection at a university that was 2 hours south of where he lived, and I lived 2 hours north. So it was like a quite a commute for me. To get to this university to do the course. And he said, oh, well, why don't you stop in and see me on your way home and stay if you want to? Like, you can bring your swag and stay the night. And anyway, we kind of ended up hooking up and, ended up staying with him for another, I think, 8 days or something when I was doing another training in Sydney. And we kind of ended up, I learned a lot more about the herbs through him. And I was actually, so funny, like studying this herbal course that was a combination of Chinese, Western, and Ayurvedic herbs, because I was interested in all of them. So I thought, oh, why not take this course? It's called Planetary Herbalism and learn all of them at once. But it was actually a lot to learn all of them at once, and they all come out of such different kind of cultural contexts and out of such different kind of, like they actually, I don't think it's a great idea to study them like that. I think they actually all deserve their own like place in understanding like the cosmology of how working with those herbs came about and all of that stuff. But at the time I was taking this course, I was talking to him, and we were kind of I guess falling in love and going traveling and doing all these things. And one thing led to another, and we ended up here in Byron Bay, and we ended up having a child. And I was kind of feeling so, I took a short course in tonic herbalism. It was offered by an American teacher. And then, Mason was teaching me, and we were just kind of like, I was using the content from the course, but it was very much geared towards sort of acupuncture and Chinese medicine. And one of the things I love about tonic herbalism is when you actually understand it and study it, it's a herbalism around maintaining and building strength and capacity, not around treating illness. And so it's like, it's about making really subtle adjustments as you go instead of waiting for things to get really bad and, then needing to use like really strong herbs. And, we often talk about when we're sort of talking to people that, in the West, we're usually waiting till things are quite bad, and then we're using really strong treatments like chemotherapy or something to really push the body really intensely in another direction. And in Chinese herbalism, that would be considered quite a blunt instrument. Like, it's not a great idea to practice that way. They would say, try and maintain health first. And then, like, if something really does happen that you can't, maintain your way through, then use the more extreme treatments. So it kind of fit for me that like we were doing cultivation practices, we were, I was doing sort of Taoist yoga. Mace is more into the Qigong side of things, but I've definitely dabbled in Qigong as well. And I was doing the healing work and the kind of healing practices that I'd learned, and the women's healing practices. And then we had a baby, and I was kind of watching how we were using all this stuff, raising our child and now our children, and just seeing how effective it was. I was like, I can't believe this isn't a more like well-known process to just like think about, turning the home into a like alchemical tonic bar kitchen, we
Laboratory.
just I think our children have mushrooms every morning because it helps with their immune system, and you can put it in a little cacao drink with some, honey, and they don't know that. I mean, they know, my daughter knows, she's nearly 8, and so she'll happily drink her mushrooms. My 2-year-old thinks he's having a hot chocolate. But like it's those kinds of things, and our children don't, touch wood, they don't really get sick very often. We get, the odd cold and things like that, but nothing major. We've never been to hospital, we've never been to a doctor. It's that for me has really proven like how effective this stuff is. And then also like just for me, like I've been through, I'm in my third pregnancy now, been through two postpartum periods, like using our herbs to rebuild and nourish my body. I've gotten pregnant like literally without even trying. Like we seem to just, I see all these like what I would consider signposts of health. Like fertility to me is like a massive signpost of health, like healthy menstruation, massive. Like you should be bleeding and feeling, good, like not, completely wiped out and in bed for 5 days, like just things like that. So I've really noticed, I've been taking the herbs now since 20, well, yeah, really consistently since 2014. So it's 2024, so like a decade. And yeah, still take them every day. Like I reishi is probably the one that I am most, like I connect with the most. And reishi is a medicinal mushroom for people who don't know. It's a shen tonic and a heart tonic, but it's also like a, it's kind of one of its translations out of the sort of Taoist canon of herbal texts is like the mushroom of immortality. And it's really a lot about our spiritual journey and our ability to kind of, exist on this plane, with a connection to our spiritual selves. And so I take that a lot, especially in pregnancy. It helps, mum to connect to baby and baby to be connected. And it's one we really love for pregnancy. But yeah, I take nearly everything we sell. I don't usually take the neural nectar, which is a quite a strong brain tonic. I just don't find I need it. But we've, most of the other herbs we sell, I've at least dabbled in for a few months, if not years. And I'm especially like for women, I love reishi, I love ashwagandha. We have a blend for women called I Am Gaia. It's actually called the Women's Blend in America due to trademark reasons. Long story. But yeah, it's probably going to get a new name soon because we're going through a bit of a trademark thing with it. But yeah, like we've got a kind of little apothecary, Jing for postpartum or for like a lot of women who are just really stressed out. Like there's a little apothecary that works so well for women. And they're the ones that I mostly take myself. But yeah, I'm so grateful. Like I've, through working with people, I was kind of doing, I was doing one-on-ones in terms of body work, and then I was also doing some health coaching. And then through working with Superfeast, we've had so many people trust us with their stories and they themselves as case studies. We've been able to work, like I've worked one-on-one with thousands of people now, just hearing what's going on and helping guide them back toward, equilibrium. And that's what I really love about tonic herbs is like we don't ever look at you as broken, or it's not like, oh, that's really bad. Like it's like, no, well, what's the piece in the lifestyle? What's the kind of, what's going on that's causing this imbalance? And then how do we bring it back? Like it's, we're going to talk about the seasons today. Like nature's constantly in flux and we're constantly in flux. And it's just about learning to pay attention to those shifts and then, using the herbs as a tool to realign back toward, what I would call harmony. But it's very, you teach yoga and you understand like that if someone's got a lot of heat in the system, you don't add more heat. You add some cool, or you bring them down a little bit. And it's exactly the same with tonic herbs. Like if someone comes to me and they're completely exhausted, I'm not going to use a qi herb. I'm going to use like a jing herb. I want to restore the batteries before I try and get more energy out of the system, and yeah, so it's kind of like it's very logical, really. And I've become completely obsessed with Chinese medicine since, I started an acupuncture degree, which I did stop because of COVID and some of the laws that weren't aligned with my value system around certain things. But I've been really fortunate to have been mentored and supported by acupuncturists who believe in me and like are happy to teach me. And I think the healing medicine from China is the most elegant I've ever seen. Like it's so intelligent, it's so well, like they were really clever about writing everything down and codifying it and then testing it. And it's very scientific, a lot like real yoga. Like, we both know that there's yoga, and then there's like the science of yoga, the actual methodology of applying a really intelligent system, and paying attention and watching cause and effect and like understanding what's happening. And so that's been my experience with the herbs. It's really just opened up a whole world for me, and I'm so grateful because I don't know what the future looks like, but having that business and that being able to work with the herbs the way we do. We often joke like we don't know if the herbs are working us or if like we're working them. Like, it feels sometimes a little bit karmic or a little bit because it's been hard. Like, we import, so most of these herbs are grown dedao, which means they're grown as close as we can possibly align to the traditional growing methods of these herbs. If possible, wildcrafted is obviously ideal, and then there's like a process of farming depending on how rare the herbs are, and how, like, shaga is still wildcrafted because it's very difficult to cultivate. But something like reishi, we actually sort of, it's cultivated in a, it's like a semi-wild situation in that it's using lots of natural water and things like that, not in a farm or a greenhouse. Or sort of, it's covered to protect the spores and things, but it's not in like a big grow house you see in China now. There's like whole cities that are just growing mushrooms because of the popularity of medicinal mushrooms. The industry's crazy. I got an email the other day of a Canadian company that's like venture capital backed and like talking, millions of dollars behind them, and they're producing mushrooms in Canada. And it's just crazy that like how big the industry's become. But we've stayed, we're pretty small in the grand scheme of things. We're just really, for us, it's about the quality of the herbs. It's about them having their essence preserved, because we believe actually that's what you're taking in. You're taking in the essence of a plant or a mushroom or whatever, minerals sometimes. And that's actually, the bit that does the work. Like, yes, there's the phytochemicals and all the constituents and all that stuff. And, I do think to a degree we have to be aware of all of that stuff. But it's like there's also a very energetic resonance that happens. And that was what, for me, reishi was. I was like, I don't know what this is, but it's like, opened, I've done plant medicine, like, ayahuasca and stuff. And I'm like, I think reishi's up there. It's kind of, not in the same blast your head off kind of, different, but it, yeah, like its consciousness is really powerful. So, yeah. And that's kind of what I think a lot is, like, if you're taking a root, like you're rooting, you're literally like, that's the kind of earth connection point of the plant, and like the mineral transfer, and like a lot of this incredible kind of intelligence going on, the communication between the plant and the soil and the microbiome and the rhizomes, and all of the things happening within that, network, the mycelium, everything. Like, so we're not just, it's not just like using a chemical. It's like, it's respect for the plant and reverence for the plant, and understanding that, yeah, it's kind of having a relationship with us. And so, yeah, so we kind of, in the grand scheme of mushroom companies, we're not huge, but we are pretty passionate, I think. And yeah, I'm really committed to, like, I guess Mace often used to say, like, when we were first starting out, he's like, I just wanted to take these, like, that's why I started this company. I wanted to have them in my cupboard, and it was hard, so I started to do it. And yeah, but like I said, it's been, a really big journey, and we were both, neither of us had a clue, to be really honest. All of the, in Australia, there's a lot of regulations and, importing and exporting and like stuff we just had no idea about. We've made so many mistakes. We've done like so many silly things. We would have wasted hundreds of thousands of dollars. And we've just, what do you do? We're here for the herbs. We're just like doing our best. But we do laugh because, like, this like I'm pregnant with our third baby, and I'm not in the business day to day anymore. Like, we have staff now who are actual, like, professional people, not Mason and I. And I'm like, ah, look how organized everything is, and like there's a folder for everything and like a filing cabinet. And we're just like, we were kids, we were children who had no idea, and like passionate about the philosophy and the like integrity of everything, but like the actual, tax returns, and I mean, we do our tax, but like all that stuff is just like, oh, so hard. So Anyway, here we are. We made
All
it.
right. Yeah, I love that. Thank you for this beautiful intro for filling us in on Superfeast and and on your story, yours and Mason's story. I love that when he dropped off those two bags of reishi and hishibu.
Thank you.
That's so cool. And yeah.
I think it's so funny. Like, I'm always like, I can't believe we ended up together. This blows my mind.
I think it's honestly, I love that story.
It's really like to be with someone who shares like a value system and like a vision, I think is, and that I'm inspired by his vision. Like, I find, like even after we've been together 10 years and I'm still like, wow, like your vision and your commitment to this and like what you've pushed through to be here, like that's just, yeah, it's huge. And I think that in a partnership is really nice because it's, yeah, there's a lot of like love and respect there. And we had to go, like I said, we didn't know what we were doing a lot of the time, so we had to learn how to like even just navigate that as a couple. And
Yeah,
yeah, it's been really
you grew
lots of
together
Shen
with
tonics.
Superfeast.
Open the heart, open the heart. Don't kill each
Yes.
other.
Can I touch on one thing? Because I know that a lot of women have this issue of like painful periods. It's literally like almost every second woman I talk to, they're like, oh, I have this painful periods, I have PMS, I don't feel well, I'm literally sick. So hearing that either both or one of these tonic herbs helped you get pretty fast into a good, well, not a good rhythm, but into this easeful flow of your period. That's so
No, I mean,
amazing.
that to me, so for some background, I was on the pill for 10 years, 2 years of not bleeding, and then had very erratic and painful periods and really bad, like hormonal acne that I'd never had in my life, which I now understand through the lens of Chinese medicine was blood stagnation and, all this other stuff that kind of was going on from the pill, including cold. So the one of the challenges of the pill is it cools the uterus and it makes all the blood stagnate and makes the kind of chi stagnate. And so a lot of what I ended up using to heal that, and this took a long time, and that's why like the herbs to me came right at the end of like me being on this really big journey of like health, and I'm using air quotes because I like tried everything. I mean, I'm talking go to Thailand and fast, on water, like six colonics in a row, 2 days apart. Like, I was trying everything because I'd had so such bad digestion. I had no period. This was all stuff that I mean, my like, I think I was about 26 or something. It shouldn't have been the way. And I remember going to GPs and they were just telling me, well, that's normal. It's normal when you come off the pill to not have a period. It's normal to have period pain. It's normal to have acne. I was like, it's not normal. Like,
And
I
sometimes they
didn't
even,
have.
sorry, sometimes they even prescribe the pill to reduce the period pain, which I find so
Yeah, which in
ridiculous and
Chinese medicine is
awful.
like the stupidest idea ever. And it's a band-aid. It masks the symptoms. You don't have a real period when you're on the pill. You have a breakthrough bleed because of removing the hormones, but it's not. And this is again, Chinese medicine taught me. So I'm going to try and give a really simplified explanation of how, the energetics of a period, but basically we're building this kind of chi around the breast area through the first part of our cycle. And if we don't ovulate, I'm sorry, no, if we don't ovulate, if we don't conceive, the chi and the blood that we kind of accumulate around the heart and the breast tissue, it starts to drop down through a vessel called the Chong Mai and into back into the uterus. And the blood, which is not the same, like menstrual blood isn't the same as body blood, although it is blood, it's actually like a kind of alchemical substance as well. So that becomes available and the body's able to shed that. But there has to be this kind of energetic cycling of release. So this descent of energy. And again, yoga, like if we're always up and out mentally, there's a lot of emotional stuff going on, there's a lot of energy drain, a lot of things moving out, we can get really depleted and that process can't complete properly. And then there's stagnation as well. So if we have digestive issues, emotional issues, we're on something like the pill or even some antibiotics are really cold in the system, they can create like a what we would call stagnation in Chinese medicine, basically like a lack of movement. And I think you said this just before, like movement is so important. Like we're designed to flow, we're not designed to be stuck or blocked in any way. And maybe that was another conversation I had today, but it's a really important principle in Chinese medicine that we flow, like we don't ever, ever stagnate. And so if you think about water, if you leave it in a cup, the first day it's okay. The second day you're like, probably not going to drink that. Third day it starts to get stinky. Fourth day it's like really stinky, you know, and then there's mold and whatever, like algae growing and all sorts of things. Like that's stagnation. And so what happens in the body is on a kind of microcellular level in the fascia and in the interstitial tissue, the fluids get stuck and they get kind of funky. And we kind of get like toxicity and inflammation and all these things within the system. And so this is this process. Again, I'm simplifying what's there's different patterns and different ways this manifests for different people. So I'm not trying to say, you know, that you're, you know, it could be emotional for you. It could be like literally that there's digestive stuff going on and that's causing like a kind of toxic overload around the uterus. And then when you bleed, that's actually being pushed out of the body, which is kind of a good thing, but it's also like pointing to a sign of digestive issues, not the uterus itself. Like there's so many factors. So I just want to make it clear that this is kind of a general idea. But as a general idea, we're meant to go through this cycle of energy, and the energy is meant to be able to flow, and it's meant to be able to flow really easily. And the release and then the building is the yin and yang. So in Chinese medicine, we consider that we build to the yang point, which is when we ovulate, and then we release and descend to the yin point, which is menstruation. And so there's a natural shift in energy. I'm not saying when you bleed, you should feel like, you know, necessarily running and kicking goals. And like, it's not that. It's just that there should be ease in that transition. It shouldn't feel clunky and painful and difficult. But there will be an ebb to the energy, and that's natural. It's a turning toward and a turning within, and the wisdom of the season of that cycle coming through, you know, and being available to you to actually download. Like apparently when we bleed, we're way more intuitive and open and perceptive. Like different cognitive functions are on when we're in that menstrual phase, because you know I believe that women are naturally psychic and naturally connected to this like bigger kind of collective unconscious through the menstrual cycle. And I believe one of the things, you know, whether it's on purpose or not, that the pill and all these things do is suppress and remove us from that connection. And I believe like one of the reasons we've demonized menstruation is because it disempowers women to actually think of their menstrual cycle as powerful and as life-giving and as life affirming and you know a positive experience. Like we're, and I don't know about you and I don't know about your childhood, but for me growing up, like you were not to talk about your period. It was kind of this hidden, you know, like you had it but you didn't really let anyone know. You would use a tampon, you would, you know, like try and hide any blood, or like it was a very kind of taboo topic to bleed at all, let alone, you know, to bleed openly and to talk about how you were feeling and the cycles. And, you know, and that was, I think, fairly common for women in my generation. And, you know, my children see blood when I bleed. I either free bleed or I use something outside of my body most of the time now. And a part of that is because I'm like, they need to see that a woman bleeds. Like it's part of their education as humans. But it's also for me, like I've come from, you know, again, a shameful relationship with my body, which creates pain and creates stagnation because there's a denial of that energetic flow, to a point of like really, I wouldn't say like I'm not one of those people that puts my menstrual blood on my face, like yet. Maybe I will one day, but at this stage I'm not. But you know, I have friends that do that, and that's so cool. But I'm just like, you know, I guess now again I'm in my third pregnancy. I've witnessed what the power of the female body does, and to be given the gift of menstruation, even if you don't want to have children, like to be able to connect into that really cyclical and rhythmic part of life and the pulse of life. Like I see it as kind of like the pulse of life, the yin and yang, the breathing in and out of the cosmos. You know, we're part of that, and that's to me what menstruation is. So, you know, I think my opinion is it's normal is no pain, no stagnation, no PMS, no wanting to kill your husband. I think that's normal. It's not normal in our culture, but I think that's the biological normal, you know. I see a lot of what we would call PMS as repressed, you know, an unexpressed emotion. The really big thing for women is to not feel like they have a way of, you know, like anger for women doesn't have a culturally appropriate expression. Like we don't, you know, for a guy to get angry, we might be like, oh, he's a bit of a dickhead, but we don't like shut him down. Usually if a man's angry, we're like, okay, well, that's a kind of masculine trait, you know, to have
I know what you
anger.
mean.
Yeah, but women, that's not, there's no real, you're a bitch or you're like a
Yes,
psycho or there's
exactly.
something really wrong with you. Like, and I think that's, you know, obviously a massive cultural piece, but as women, it's like, okay, well, I can't change the entire culture, but I can change my relationship with anger. I can start to understand how to express my frustration throughout my cycle. And if something's coming up in my cycle, I can say, you know, hey, this is actually really driving me nuts and I need to talk about it. And, you know, like before we get to the point of wanting to like rip someone's head off or like have a reaction, I think a lot of the time that emotional stuff is really, I consider it. And still, like, if I was to ever, so I've only had, so basically been pregnant and breastfeeding for a while now. So I've only had three cycles between, I had my son, was breastfeeding, had three cycles, got pregnant again. They were all normal, except in the middle, I had one where I had some emotional, like PMS, where I was, it wasn't, anger, but it was like, I think like the best way I can describe it is kind of like a bit of a victim-y, like poor me, like, oh, you know, got a baby and I'm breastfeeding and I'm bleeding. And, you know, it's kind of really in that, like sob story, I suppose, of like, this is really hard. And I really had to sit with that. And usually for me, that takes a little bit of time. I'm not the world's fastest processor, but I sat in what I'm like, well, what is this? And I'm like, I actually don't feel supported. I don't know how to ask for support. I've been pushing myself really hard. You know, I'm not meeting the season of life that I'm in. So I'm actually breastfeeding a baby and I'm bleeding and I have another kid and I have a busy business. You know, like, so it's just about really like reflecting on, well, you know, what are those shifts I need to make in this next cycle so that I can actually release that story that I'm being victimized by my period and my baby. You know, and that's a kind of easy one for me because I'm in fairly in control of like my schedule and my life to a degree. Like I'm able to say, you know what, I'm not going to do any extra, you know, interviews this month, or I'm not going to do anything outside of like, you know, my normal hours. I'm going to take an extra day a week just to like, you know, be a bit more present with my son and not schedule anything. Like I can do that with my time, but you know, it's that kind of level of attention, I think, on the emotional level. And then physically, you know, that again, I'm a really big one for like everything is connected. So I don't tend to see emotional, physical, and mental as that separate. But I do think, you know, sometimes we have, you know, intolerances to certain foods or things that cause inflammation in our body that like increase the heat, increase that kind of yang. A lot of the time, women are, you know, again, in my experience of dealing one-on-one with people, they're pushing themselves really hard. They're using things like caffeine to like overstimulate their system. They're not resting enough.
We'll touch on
You
that
know,
later, by the way. It's included
yeah,
on
well,
the
I because it's really common, and you know, it's a hard pill to swallow that, you know, there's no magic herb that's gonna stop. You know, you actually have to reassess, like, you know, to some degree your value system. And is this really the way you want to treat your body? And I've, you know, I've been really fortunate through our podcast, the Superface podcast, to interview some really, you know, people like Claudia Welsh and people who've worked with people through transitions of menopause. And the common theme I've heard over and over again is however you live through your 20s and 30s, and into your 40s is going to be what shows up for you in menopause. And if you're flogging yourself, it's going to be a really hard ride, and that's like, it's kind of when the, I consider the period like a monthly report card, like a little check-in, like,
I
hey, how
love
are you
that.
really, yeah, like, how are you really going? Like, this is your bleed. Like, what's really there for you? And then menopause is like a big version of that because in Chinese medicine, that's where the blood stops being externalized and it stays within. And the blood is our Shen in Chinese medicine. So it's connected to our spirit. It's also like, and like I was saying, menstrual blood, it's full of stem cells. It's full of all of these incredibly rich substances that create life. But when we keep that inside ourselves, and there are some Taoist practices for women in their menstruating years to actually keep the blood inside because of that gift of the insight and the wisdom that that blood contains. And I'm not saying we shouldn't bleed. I personally like to bleed, but it's just remembering that menopause is when, we stop being so externally focused and we start to really turn around and look at ourselves. And that's when we meet ourselves. And for a lot of women, that's very confronting as well, because it's a lot of these things we're talking about where, well, actually, have I been in alignment with myself through my lifetime? Am I doing things for everybody else? And that's a part of, I believe, in seasons of life. I think there's a season of life of being in a giving place. And, part of what happens when we bleed and have babies and all these things is we produce a lot of oxytocin and a lot of estrogen, and we're kind of in this very giving stage of life. But when, when we hit menopause, that changes. And so it's kind of this, like, yeah, real chance to reflect. And yeah, so I see, a lot of menopausal symptoms are often people who've struggled with similar types of issues through their cycle, never really addressed the kind of root cause and ended up, getting smacked in menopause by it. And
Very
then,
interesting. Very interesting.
yeah, and I haven't done menopause yet, but I've seen it in myself in my postpartums too, like how different things play out. And my daughter, I was really like, I knew mentally I was supposed to rest and all those things, but it was like the peak of summer when we had her. So we talked about, before we came on this call, the yang being really high in summer. So I was feeling that. I was feeling that and wanting to be out, wanting to express, wanting to go to the beach and see my friends. And so this idea of doing, 40 days in a cave in the middle of summer felt absolutely ridiculous to me. And I didn't really, like, I definitely rested a bit more and stuff like that. But I was, and my body responded by, I sprained my ankle. And I, like, I was literally sat on my ass by my own body. And I was like, oh, I have to like learn this lesson over and over again that, there's a season. I'm in a postpartum season and I have to honor that compared to my son, where I literally did nothing for 6 weeks. Ate food, hung out at my house, like breastfed my baby, had baths, slept, steamed my vagina, like all that stuff. That was a very easy. Like, I had, such an easy postpartum with him. And I had a, I'm fairly fortunate to have a strong constitution too. I had an easy postpartum with my daughter as well. But I noticed the fatigue. I noticed by the time she was sort of like, 8, 9, 10 months, like when all the happy hormones had worn off, I was really knackered. I was getting resentful. Like, it was that sort of lack of building that yin essence back up was really obvious down the track. Whereas with my son, because I let that build, I never really got that sense of being kind of tapped out or over, feeling overdone with it all. And I didn't have to lean on, like, I had to really lean on the herbs when I was postpartum with my daughter. I was, using them kind of a bit more how we don't like to use them to kind of fix myself. Whereas I found with my son, I was more like, just nourishing and feeling that, like filling my cup, sort of energy instead of like, keeping myself alive energy. And that's to me the real difference with tonic herbs is like, when we were talking about in the car with my daughter, she's like, what's the man in the song mean when he says they're cranky if they don't have a coffee? And I was like, yeah, well, some people, when they wake up in the morning, if they don't have a coffee, they don't feel good. And she was like, oh, But sometimes you drink coffee, but I don't, you know. She's like, you don't really seem to be cranky. And I said, well, yeah, because I'm not, and you know, I didn't go into this with my 8-year-old, but I was like thinking about, yeah, there was a time when if I didn't have a coffee, I couldn't get started, you know. Now I'll have one around 9 or 10 in the morning after I've eaten my breakfast. More, you know, like I enjoy coffee sometimes. I don't have it every day, like whatever. It's something I enjoy. But if I don't have one, I don't have one either. Like it's not a big deal to me. So it's been really interesting watching that shift because that's if you're depleted and you're using a yang stimulant to just have enough energy to function, like that's a massive red flag, you know? And I'm not against coffee. I like coffee. I think it's a delicious, fun thing to do with my friend to have a coffee, you know? Like it's not something I'm against in any way, but I'm against the way we use it as a prophylactic against actually addressing the innate exhaustion that most people are kind of moving around in. So,
Well, two things I actually want to touch on and then wrap up this part of our conversation. But thank you for sharing everything, for your vast knowledge here. I mean, that's like a mini episode in itself, actually, you know, talking about menstruation, PMS, postpartum, how should it look like, what or how is it ideally done? Now, coming back to the beginning of the story, you said you took this reishi and the hishu wu. So if there are like women listening now, and I'm sure there are a few who are dealing with painful periods or PMS, what would be the topic that you recommend? Can you say for you it was the reishi or the hishu wu, or is it super individual?
Now, this was the first part of Tani's and my conversation. To listen to the second part, go to episode number 46. But before you zoom out, make sure to subscribe to the podcast if you haven't yet, so you don't miss any episodes. And also, a little favor, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave a 5-star rating and a short review. Just a sentence is enough, but this will really help me grow my show. Thank you so much, and see you soon.